The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back. Lord knows top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report this Wednesday, October 14th. And once again, I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. I'm the usual, the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Real quick, just to tie this up, and we'll go to the phones in a second. What am I saying? What does all of this crazy stuff mean? You know, does it all fit together? Well, in my mind, it does anyway, at least. So Norman Dodd told G. Edward Griffin back in 1982. Norman Dodd, for those who don't know, you probably, you know, have heard it ad nauseum if you're anywhere on the periphery of this network. But Norman Dodd, for those who don't know, was the director of research for the Reese Committee back in the 1950s to investigate the large foundations for alleged un-American and even anti-American subversive kinds of things that they may have been promoting with their grant making powers. It was very interesting. You know, if memory serves, I think the Reese Committee was given $150,000 by Congress to investigate all of these foundations, which was basically an impossible task, and somehow they did a miraculous job. But just to put that in context, I think if memory serves, the Ford Foundation earmarked $10 million to investigate the Reese Committee. And so, you know, that sort of puts that all in context, I think, to some degree. And you can read all kinds of other stuff about this. You know, Renee Wormser Foundations, Their Power and Influence is a good companion to the discussion. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole. Wormser was, I think, chief counsel for the Reese Committee. He had some interesting things to say. I mean, you read Thomas McNeice's report. Interesting. In fact, you know, just, I don't want to sound too conspiratorial, but, you know, the Reese Committee was, it was originally, it was the select committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations and comparable organizations, alternatively known as the Cox Committee and the Reese Committee. And so, you know, the Cox Committee investigated first, and its leader, Edward Cox, you know, I would say met an untimely demise under questionable circumstances, in my opinion. That's a view that's shared by others. So anyway, the Cox Committee concluded that, no, you know, nothing to see here. foundations do what foundations do. It's no big deal. The Reese Committee dug in deeper under the leadership of B. Carol Reese and Norman Dodd as its director of research. Thomas McNeese, assistant director of research, was awesome. It was really, I would say, a pretty patriotic crew, generally speaking, in my humble estimation. And what they were able to unearth was most remarkable. But, you know, like I said, Norman Dodd told G. Edward Griffin back in 1982 that these folks, you know, particularly what was going on based on revelations from their meeting minutes, were garnered by Miss Catherine Casey, who was sort of a plant to slow things down, to sort of, cool investigatory efforts. Anyway, Norman Dodd told G. Edward Griffin that at the Carnegie Endowment, one of the things they were talking about was how they could make sure that after World War I, life in America would never return to pre-World War I status. And what does that mean? Well, they were trying to steer America into a perpetual state of war, which we have seen an almost unbroken span, I would say, you know, unbroken for all intents and purposes, span of perpetual conflict around the world. Nation building, Durand Corporation calls it. Freedom and democracy. That's interesting that the Lucius Trust is very interested in that too. And, from the Lucius Trust to the Fabian Socialists, everyone's interested in spreading freedom and democracy. Anyway, so we're not returning to the old way. Why is that? Because they're trying to change life, but only in a specific direction. I think, for that matter, we should go back and maybe dig up some of that literature from before 1914, maybe before the turn of the 20th century, and maybe really dig into what America was like before. Why was the – what exactly – I wish that I could ask Norman Dodd that. You know, what exactly were they trying to prevent? What specifically did they not want us to return to? But I suspect, in large part, the conflict has something – significant to do with it, because that was the method of change. That was how they would, you know, move us along this dialectical continuum through emergency powers and so forth, as we've seen over the 20th century in particular. And so it's changing a particular direction. And again, you know, using this sort of communitarian doctrine of R2P, responsibility to protect or responsibility to prevent, you know, if you can foment some conflict, and people that think that's crazy, the only thing that I will leave you with is Brzezinski's 1998 interview in the French magazine La Nouvelle Observateur. And that was translated by William Bloom, right? He was one of the guys that translated it. Counterpunch, 1998. January 15, how Jimmy Carter and I started the Mujahideen. Read that. So Brzezinski, I mean, from the translated interview, question, the former director of the CIA, Robert Gates, stated in his memoirs From the Shadows, American intelligence services began to aid the Mujahideen in Afghanistan 6 months before the Soviet intervention. In this period, you were the national security advisor to to President Carter. You therefore played a role in this affair. Is that correct? Brzezinski, yes. According to the official version of history, CIA aid to the Mujahideen began during 1980. That is to say, as he loved to say, after the Soviet army invaded Afghanistan December 24, 1979. But the reality, secretly guarded until now, is completely otherwise. Indeed, it was July 3, 1979, that President Carter signed the first directive for secret aid to the opponents of the pro-Soviet regime in Kabul. And that very day, I wrote a note to the president in which I explained to him that, in my opinion, this aid was going to induce a Soviet military intervention. And so, you know, he goes on to explain more. But I mean, that's, you know, there's more awfulness in that. But Brzezinski basically says, we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. So those kinds of things are what are going on around the world. You have people, the same people shaping the conflict that want to influence policymaking, which brings us back to ISD and a specific flavor or brand of policymaking, which is just bars on society, you know, imprisoning us. This is something that I usually refer to Hayek for in The Road to Serfdom. Chapter one is The Abandoned Road. What is The Abandoned Road? The book deals with this thing he calls The Road to Serfdom, and it starts with planning. And you have these kinds of people planning, and if they can manage the conflict, or at least, you know, tell the emperor's story about the conflict, then they can influence policy and advisory. And it's always of a particular, you know, communitarian bent. Which takes me back briefly, before we go to the phones, to the Long March Through the Institution. So you have all of these people in the recent interviews, July actually, I think it was July 22nd. Candace Owens interviewed Dinesh D'Souza on his upcoming book, United States of Socialism, at that time anyway, upcoming. And they talked about how, you know, you had the, you know, Ivy League graduates, Baruch Rahman and who's the other guy? Hollenford Mattis, were throwing Molotov cocktails in police cruisers during the protests and riots. And Dinesh D'Souza did a really good job of saying, if you've been basically propagandized to believe that the, you know, this establishment is bad, then this could be the most noble thing you could do. And this concept of infecting young minds, you know, the Long March of the Institutions has been, I mean, this has been going on for decades, generations. This is what Andrew Breitbart was shining a bright light on, blowing the whistle on. So just to conclude that, so we go to the phones, from the Long March Through the Institutions Wikipedia entry, you know, picking up with Marcuse again, and I mentioned him earlier from the other piece. But let's read this section. Let's see, where was I? Herbert Marcuse corresponded with Dutschke, Rudy Dutschke, in 1971 to agree with this strategy, you know, Long March strategy. Let me tell you this, Marcuse wrote, that I regard your notion of the Long March to the Institutions as the only effective way. And then to conclude, in 1972, in his book Counter-Revolution and Revolt, Marcuse wrote, to extend the base of the student movement, Rudy Dutschke has proposed the strategy of the Long March to the Institutions, working against the established institutions while working with them, or excuse me, working within them, but not simply by boring from within, rather by doing the job, learning how to program and read computers, how to teach at all levels of education, how to use the mass media, how to organize production, how to recognize and eschew planned obsolescence, how to design, etc., and at the same time preserving one's own consciousness in working with others. The Long March includes the concerted effort to build up counter institutions. And you know, so now we have the Cass Sunsteins, the Well, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, obviously. Guys like Eric Holder, you know, the Obama acolyte radical left contingent, if you want to call it that. And again, it's fascinating that the, you know, as I've mentioned recently on the Road Warrior radio broadcast, it's fascinating that the Lucius Trust is interested in this too, you know, the distinction between conservatives and progressives, and has been for 100 years. It's, I think that's fascinating. So continue. The Long March includes the concerted effort to build up counter institutions. Why? Why? They have long been an aim of the movement, but the lack of funds was greatly responsible for their weakness and their inferior quality. They must be made competitive. This is especially important for the development of radical free media. The fact that the radical left has no equal access to the great chains of information and indoctrination is largely responsible for its isolation. So this is what's been going on over the past several decades. And so it's no surprise that we arrive here and we see what's going on. And there is this, basically, it's kind of this unilateral effort. And what it represents is not just cultural hegemony, but, you know, genocide of kind of every kind. It's not just cultural assimilation and cultural hegemony. It's genocide. That's what it really comes down to. And I think we're starting to feel that pressure. And as stupid as the things are that are going on, I mean, somebody said wearing a mask, you know, you see these people driving around wearing a mask in their car these days by themselves. And somebody said wearing a mask alone in your car is like wearing a condom alone in bed. That's probably too crass and inappropriate for radio, but, you know. So I apologize, but it's kind of an apropos illustration of the absurdity of what's going on. And people are not really, I don't think, fully realizing what is actually happening here. The absurdity that is playing out before us, that is programming people to do the goofiest things like that. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm seeing it on an increasing basis. So let's go to the phones and grab Robert in California. Robert, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. I was just speaking in the back of my head about how I was hoping I had a chance to speak with you today, because you are such an informed and intelligent character. I really do appreciate what you're doing here with RBN and your little slot there. And I wish you had more viewers that were listening to your radio show. You've got so many good things to say. I'll start it off with that. Sorry. So how are you?
Right on. All right. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing a little bit better every day. I'm prepping to get out of California. But, you know, I've been talking about with my friends a lot of things you're bringing up on your radio show here. And, well, I'm sorry, John Stettmiller's radio show, but mm-hmm. You're being the guest host. And I do absolutely appreciate your putting in on this, because you've got so many good things to say. So I've been talking with my friends about the things that RBN has been bringing up to the front. And I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall, because I'm stuck out here in California with all these liberals. And, you know, Chris, you're a really intelligent guy, and I really wanted to bang it off your head as to how I'm supposed to approach these people with the truth, because you and I, we seem to understand the truth. And I hear a break coming up.
Yeah, I have at least one answer for that, and maybe two. So we'll get to that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, so to answer your question, Robert, and it's a good question, and I will give a couple of simple answers. I don't think there really are any simple answers, though. It's a difficult problem. We've been engineered to a point, a lot of us our whole lives, to be at conflict with ourselves and one another, and that really is, I would say, what's at the heart of this cultural Marxism. We're supposed to hate ourselves and one another. It's fear and self-loathing about everything. And in a very real sense, it is. You know, there's, I had a conversation with family and friends over the weekend. We were talking about some of this stuff, and I said, I remember my grandparents. I don't remember them being infected with this mind virus. They just weren't preoccupied with these kinds of things. They were, you know, even though my grandfather, for example, fought in World War II, you know, and that had, you know, I mean, that had significant and profound consequences for the rest of his life. But still, they weren't plagued by this kind of fear and self-loathing we've been infected with in each subsequent generation. So, simple answer. I think patience, tolerance, or not tolerance, but grace and mercy in large measure, because there is, you know, in my experience, when you can actually be patient enough to let someone rail, you know, the biblical example comes to my mind. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's the grace and mercy that breaks your heart, not the judgment. And so in similar fashion, when you're talking to someone and they are being nasty and vicious and whatever, and obviously hypocritical and those kinds of things, if you can maintain your composure and still extend grace and mercy, then later if they have a chance to go away and think about it, you know, oftentimes that, I think, has a significant impact on people. And, you know, if anything will, I think that will. It's difficult, though, because like Yuri Bezmenov talked about, the ideological subversion that's been at work for decades in this society gets people to a point where they won't get it, even if you present the truth to them and the facts. And like he said, they won't get it until they get the swift kick in their fat bottom. But, you know, back to the other point about grace and mercy, if you can do that, in my experience, probably like yours, like most of us, if you have a chance to talk to people, there's a gestation period, I usually say, of like 6 to 9 months. And then they'll come back eventually and go, hey, have you heard, or did you, you know, or maybe they'll be, I don't know, present of mind enough to say, you told me.
Is there a chance, Chris, that I can interrupt here? Because you've said some very salient points here, and I'm having a hard time keeping up. You've covered so much ground here. And you're absolutely on spot. Everything that you're talking about is absolutely in accord with the understanding that we all need to be, you know, taking the time to understand right now, but most people aren't. And that's what really gets me, Chris, is that there are so many people out here in society that are so stuck on their own, like, pre-qualified narratives that they're not willing to look at the facts. They're not willing to realize what's really going on, and they're not willing to adjust their reality to it. We live in a changing world, and that's why, Chris, that's why I'm really grateful to be able to touch base with you today and kind of mince words with you, because I think that you and I really agree on a lot of these perspectives. I've listened to your radio show a lot of weeks, a lot of months, and I agree with you. But the thing that I'm trying to get out to the audience here, much more for the audience than your perspective, but I'll bet you'll agree with me, is the fact that we live in a divided America that it's been divided for a purpose. And the only reason they're trying to divide us is to keep us separated enough not to be able to fight against what they're doing to us. And that's what I wanted your personal perspective on today.
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to kind of a spiritual battle. In my perspective, you know, it's like, you know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't intervene, then we're in trouble. But, you know, some miraculous divine intervention is about all that could really, you know, reverse the course here in my perspective. But that's just, you know, I don't know, setting that aside for a moment. It's a difficult thing. I mean, really, I am intimately familiar with the difficulties. And I say one thing, you know, I said what I said, but I admit, I mean, I've had conversations even recently where it is incredibly difficult when you are, you know, confronted with this vitriol and animosity, and none of it makes any sense. It's not necessarily directed at you, even though it's, you know, ad hominem.
You know, to speak on that point, Chris, to speak on that point, Chris, especially.
Yeah, let's do that after the break. We're headed back into a break. Stick around, Robert. We'll do that after the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Oh, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. Been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Welcome back.
Knock, knock, knock.
Bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report, this Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. I'm your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stabmiller. By the way, it might not be a, you know, pledge drive, fundraiser week, but your support is greatly appreciated. So if you feel inclined, go to republicbroadcasting.org. And there's a button at the top of the website, right-hand side, donate, single donations, Dollar Day Club, all that stuff is right there. And then down on the left-hand side of the website, just below that, main menu, you can see the donate section, which gives you the information. Donating with plastic or digitally, by phone and by snail mail. So that's good information too. Anyway, Robert, you had a comment.
Well, to cut to the chase, I wanted to talk about the the Hegelian principles, the Hegelian dialectic, this division that we're seeing in our country right now, and the reason why this is so important for us to realize and circumvent before we realize the enemy, the true enemy that confronts us. Because if we're going to be divided, we're all going to fall separately, don't you? I mean, actually, I don't need to ask if you realize that, Chris, because you obviously realize that. You've spoken about that so many times in your broadcast.
Yeah.
Why bring it up?
Yeah, and the departure from didactic reasoning, I've had that conversation several times too. The transition from didactic to dialectic.
Chris, really quick, can I get the definition of that just for the other listeners? Because I've caught up on didactic, but you get the other listeners familiar with that.
Well, I have a clip that I want to get to here in a minute, and we'll leave it. Basically, you know, facts and logic versus the, you know, post-truth persuasive argument is kind of what I'm getting to. That's kind of the gist of it. And that's where we're at now. People don't realize that. Some people do. Thomas Sowell realizes that. Somehow he managed to graduate magna cum laude from Harvard and have a, you know, and Columbia with at least some of his faculties intact. So that's good. Anyway. Yeah, there are a couple of things I want to play. Let me, to further answer your question, and we got other calls we got to get to in a second, but to further answer the question, speaking of the Candace Owens, Dinesh D'Souza interview, they touched on what I would say is at least in part an answer to your question about, like, how do we, what do we do about this, and how do we resist the encroaching, tyrannical, radical contingent. So here's that little bit. Go ahead, please.
So in Venezuela, as in America, socialism is big business.
Right. And, you know, I think another element of this is that people don't understand anything about their government. And we really are flying blind. And why I think, you know, the first way that we defeat this is that we have to do something about the education system. I mean, they're pulling out classes in civics. You can't learn about Western civilization, right? That's racist. You're not learning about civics. All you're learning about is exactly what you're talking about. Men, why men are bad if you're a woman. Why white people are bad if you're a black person or a white person. They now have classes where white people have to learn about their white guilt. And what we've really done is we've replaced a solid education system with psychological conditioning, right? These kids come out of school, they hate the West, they think there's something fundamentally wrong and backwards about capitalism, about Western society. Yet, if you speak to any of those people that speak so negatively about America, they'd never want to go live anywhere in the East. Why do you want to live in the West? You know, why would you prefer your kids grow up here as opposed to growing up somewhere like Russia? And this is sort of the problem that we have, is that we're fundamentally teaching anti-Americanism. And I feel badly when I see these kids, like these, you know, 15-year-old Antifa thugs, right, running around, rioting, because they really know nothing. They know nothing.
Academia is the theory and Antifa is the practice.
Mm.
So if you think about it, what the left has done here with the George Floyd killing is they've taken the episode. Now, when that episode first occurred, everybody said, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. And there was an opportunity to have a moment of national unity, which is we all agree on something and we can proceed to look at what happened and how to fix it. But the left realized, no, that's not what we want. We actually want an opportunity for racial division. So what we have to do is we take the George Floyd episode and attach it to a larger narrative. Now, the larger narrative is unhooked from George Floyd. It's things like, from the George Floyd episode, you think, okay, if we see a bad cop, the solution to a bad cop is obviously to have a good cop. So let's try to get more good cops. But that's not the left's approach. The left's approach is all cops are like that. Cops are chronically racist, even black cops. Because as you remember, in the Floyd case, there was a black cop, there was an Asian cop. They're all racist. And why are they racist? Because they're part of a racist system. Mm-hmm. So America's racist. And not only is it racist now, but it's been racist not only since 1776, but since 1619. This is the New York Times' infamous 1619 project. So the demonization of America narrative is now put on top of the George Floyd killing. And the basic move is if you deny the narrative, you don't care about George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what intimidates people on our side. It intimidates pastors. It intimidates Republican politicians. They feel they have to genuflect before this narrative or else they'll be accused of being racist.
That's right.
Now, this narrative has been concocted and manufactured by progressives over the past century. And they have been, in the past, they had to debate it. Now they don't debate it. They just drum it into young people. And these young people don't know the counter narrative. Mm-hmm. Now, our side is actually pretty good at putting the counter fact, saying things like, well, the majority of people killed by cops are actually white.
Mm-hmm.
But a fact doesn't dispute a narrative, because a narrative is actually an interpretation of a wide body of facts. And it's really important for our side to generate counter narratives that tell the other story of America that young people are not being subjected to. This is where our universities have completely broken down. Because if you really believe the narrative, let's say you really believe this country is racist to its core, it's built on oppression, its wealth has been generated by oppression, then throwing a Molotov cocktail into a police precinct is in fact logical.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to do whatever you can by any means necessary.
Let me just kind of highlight what he said, though. A fact does not dispute a narrative, because a narrative is actually an interpretation of a wide body of facts, or, you know, a gobbling up of propaganda, as it were. And he said it's important for our side to generate counter narratives. I disagree. I don't think we need narratives. I think we need what Jordan Peterson said, or what John Stossel referred to. And so back to Stossel and Jordan Peterson. Go ahead, please.
Individual sovereignty.
The free market principles, the idea of individual sovereignty above all else, has distributed itself across the world quite effectively. And everyone is doing better here than anybody has ever done on the face of the planet throughout recorded history. And the whole West is like that. And to call that all a tyrannical patriarchy is indicative of a very deep resentment and a historical ignorance that's so profound that it's indistinguishable from willful blindness.
Peterson says the best thing people can do to fight back against that blindness is to speak the truth, even when it's unpopular. Peterson follows his own advice. He says unpopular truths, and people like that. Almost 1 million have bought his book.
All right, I think that's good information. The last thing I'll say on this is, Thomas Sowell has a YouTube channel at 90 years of age, and there's some interesting stuff on there. And there's not time. I was going to play something. Thomas Sowell on AOC. I don't like to use that. That to me is a construct. It's a construct of the Justice Democrats. And I don't know why everybody's not talking about that. Her brother had her respond, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to basically a cattle call, a casting call for politicians. And, they've boasted about that. The Justice Democrats. So anyway, Thomas Sowell on AOC, then Thomas Sowell on Black Lives Matter. These are interesting things. But one of the points in this context that he makes is, he said, they speak generally, they make generalizations, general references to groups of people. And Thomas Sowell says there are no, you can't talk about immigrants, for example, generally. You need to talk, like he said, everything depends on which immigrants you're talking about. And like he said, when you have no immigration policy, when you have open borders, then you have no immigration policy. Maybe you have something on paper. It doesn't matter. But the same thing applies here. When you're referring to people generally, it's very dehumanizing. And that's one of the biggest problems we have right now. And that's why grace and mercy is so important, and patience, because
Do you mind, Chris, if I interject at this point? Because you've made some very good points, and I just wanted to
close quickly. We got to go back to the phones real quick, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why I interrupted. You made some very good points, Chris, and I agree with you completely. But the big thing at the end of the day here, I don't want to say but, because I agree with you so complacently. You're absolutely on the right track, and that's why I think all of us need to reflect upon this. But at the end of the day, one of the big things that we all need to realize is that because of all this, the reality of our day-to-day experience is about to change in a very big way. I think that one of the most beneficial things that we can do for our fellow man is to help them understand just how dramatically this reality is going to affect their future, because we've got the now and the what's about to be, and that a lot of people aren't thinking about what's about to be. Just saying. I'll close it with that. I'd like your response, but I'll take it off air.
Thank you, Robert. Much appreciated. I'm going to have to, gosh, we need to go back to the phones. I will say one other thing quickly in regard to particularly what Dinesh said. You know, progressives have been doing this for 100 years. To me, the epicenter of the progressive conservative discussion is the work of the hierarchy. If you go to LuciusTrust.org, you can find a page titled The Work of the Hierarchy. And on that page, you'll find the words progress from the old ways and ideas into the new has produced a natural division of intelligent men and women into two general and basic attitudes, the conservative and the progressive. What? This applies in all fields of human affairs, producing clarifying comparisons which bring opportunity of choice and therefore opportunity for improvement. That's a very disingenuous way to put it, but whatever. So what's more interesting, people say, yeah, so what? There's a page there. Well, this is basically excerpted from a book that was a received work by Alice Bailey titled Initiation, Human and Solar, published back in 1922. So 1922, the Lucius Trust is concerned with progressives and conservatives. Don't you think that's kind of interesting? And if you look up Initiation, Human and Solar on LuciusTrust.org, you will see the book says, you know, the work of the planetary hierarchy and its many stages of mastership is outlined in this book. And the 14 rules are given by which the neophyte may become an applicant at the portal of initiation. I don't suggest that you do any of that or maybe even read any of this. I'm just saying it's interesting that these terms are sort of in vogue terms of art these days. And what do you know? 100 years ago, it was important for this group. Back to the phones. John, do we have James still?
Yeah, I'm here.
James.
You hear me?
James. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. I listened to your first hour, and I liked it, so I wanted to call in. But my point to the whole thing here is that all these leftist movement things, whatever you want to call them, Antifa, mm-hmm. whatever it is, Black Lives Matter, they're all being paid to do this. See?
Well, some are.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. They took the jobs away from America, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got 100 million people, maybe, plus minus, who don't have a job because the industry base has been taken away. They did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. And they are the banks. The banks do this kind of thing because they're the ones that make the calculations for what's going to happen. They use actuaries, right? Guys do calculations, and they look at populations and things like that.
Yep.
And they plan all of it, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. No question about it.
I'll give you an example. I knew some British intelligence officers in Hong Kong back in the 90s, and they told me, they said, didn't you know? I said, no, what? Well, the same jet engine that was the jet engine that was in the F-86 Sabre was the same engine in the MiG-15. Later, I found out General Electric bought the plants from the British for $1, and then General Electric simply gave the plants to Russia. See?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is how it works.
And that's why I mentioned Anthony Sutton. So,
mm-hmm.
the only... You know, I'm not dismissing what you're saying by any means. I'm saying, in addition to what you're saying, some people are paid, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, those are kind of the folks who are sort of spearheading this stuff. You know, and again, I mean, I mentioned Huckabee's. What's that?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Boy, Mike Huckabee put it.
When you're in an intelligence operation, you've got handlers, okay? And then you've got the people down lower on the trough, right? Maybe everyone's not getting paid, but the handlers certainly are getting paid, and the handlers
Absolutely.
Are trained.
Absolutely.
Could be military, too, or ex-military,
Absolutely.
What have you, right?
And for those who doubt what you're saying about the computer, you know, the actuarials, the cybernetic aspect of this,
yes.
I always think of the excellent video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did TrueStream Media titled "The Time When a Single Computer Ran an Entire Country," and listen to what they, you know, they have Stafford Bear in his own words saying, you know, control needs to be inbuilt, which is my point about the folks that are not paid are subject to a form of confirmation bias known as effort justification. So they don't get paid, but they participate, and their participation creates an effort justification or a confirmation bias in their minds. And that's, as to me, that's as bad or worse than being paid, what it does to them mentally. That, I mean,
You mentioned Havlicek. I looked her up, and who does she work for? She works for as a consultant for Microsoft, Google, Facebook. This is who she works for. And what's her job? To get rid of the radical, not the left, but they're talking the radical right, like John Locke. You know, the philosopher.
Basically,
John Locke. Take him out, shoot him.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And that's anybody the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
Right there, based on ideas by John Locke and that kind of thing, you see.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, anyway.
Absolutely.
Again,
persons who can think for themselves.
I'll try to listen to you more often.
All right. Thanks, James. Much appreciated.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
Much appreciated. Like Mencken said, the most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself without regard to the prevailing superstitions and taboos. Back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, maybe. Robert's a good caller. The clip you played before Jordan Peterson, what was the name of that or whatever? Well, anyhow, the clip before Peterson is, in my opinion,
it was
crap.
Candace Owens and Dinesh D'Souza, is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Because we played two excerpts from the Jordan Peterson, John Stossel thing. So,
yeah,
second time we played it
after the clip before.
Candace Owens and Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah. Crap. And I bring it up on RBN, and he's a lot of people off, but the same crap goes on and on every day. And that's divide and conquer. Now, I never made it up to the big city of Des Moines, Iowa, but I would be in the protest march. But all you hear on RBN is Antifa, and they throw the people that protested peacefully as the same as Antifa. That is a lie. That is a big lie, and RBN most hosts perpetuate it.
Well, that wasn't...
Now,
That wasn't the takeaway from the Candace Owens and Dinesh D'Souza. They know that, and they were actually articulating the distinction. And it gets back to what I was just saying with James. I mean, it's a nuanced conversation. There are folks who are dupes and useful idiots, some paid, some, you know, handlers, etc. And then there are folks who are drawn into this because they've been infected with the victim psychopathy and think
you're going on. I agree. There is a lot of idiots out here. There is a lot of stupid people, and there are quite a few idiot hoes and are stupid, just as the people that they condemn. Now, you talked about thinking ill of yourself. I think ill of myself every day of my life. Because I try to live by the commandments, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And I'm so miserable, the more I learn about it, I won't even use the word humble, but I diminish in size.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop me from trying to help and my inarticulate way to act and live as a Christian by the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, not the Nine Commandments. And I get so disgusted, utter disgust. I think I have conquered pretty well the hate, but I haven't managed to have enough love. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Now that yep. sounds like I may be preaching fear and God is to be feared. No, God is love, but he is also just. Now mm-hmm. when I get judged by Christ, I don't want justice. I want mercy.
Right, mercy. Which is why I was saying what I was saying earlier, and James said mercy triumphs over judgment. We got other callers,
right.
Fred.
Well,
I got to get to
them. More plainer, but you hear yeah. about these people that protested. Most of them were white.
Right, and that's part of the confusion, which is why grace and mercy all the more. You said it, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. We got to grab other callers. Fred, I appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab John in Pennsylvania. John, thanks for calling. Oh, we lost John. Sorry we lost you, John. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
As one it says, the angels of the Lord encamp about those who fear him. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to tell you that you brought up Jimmy Carter and Zygmunt Brzezinski. Do you know that Carter is affiliated with the Gates family? He was real good friends with Daddy Gates, who I think he just died on September 15th of this year. He was 94 years old, old guy. And he ran the Gates Foundation. He got Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. She ran it. So, but anyway, Jimmy Carter, you know, I won't say some of the stuff he did, but what he, I checked it out, and his name is all over all these global initiatives to eradicate this and that and the other. And the one that's concerning me now is they're giving polio vaccines. It's called the Polio Eradication Global Initiative, and it says every last child. Yeah, they're doing millions of children, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria.
Well, that's what all these people have said. I mean, Bill Gates has said it over and over, you know, 7 billion people. We have to vaccinate everybody. This guy who's a college dropout, you know, I don't understand why. Getting back to Robert's question, you know, I don't understand how anyone can take a guy who's a college dropout seriously on anything, let alone why would you listen to this guy on these medical issues?
Well,
I mean, that doesn't even begin to broach the subject. I know. You know, there's another clip that I wanted to play, and we're out of time. The latest, what was it, Unheard clip? What is that titled? People can go watch it. It's Dissenting Scientists Issue COVID-19 Herd Immunity Declaration. That one. You know, so, I mean, I'm just saying, to listen to a guy who's a college dropout, you know, again, it's just, Thomas Sowell said it, you know, the facts, you know, that people are not acquainted with anymore. Now it's just, you know, the post-truth era of a persuasive argument. Anyway, we're done. Pat, I appreciate your call. John, sorry we missed you. That'll do it. My pleasure sitting in as a guest host. Take care. God bless.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.